Okay, cue jingle.
Cue jingle. There it is.
Oh my gosh, where are we, Greg? Jonathan, where are we?
We're at my house.
We're at your house.
In Palm Springs.
Who's that back there?
Andrea.
Oh, and there's Rudy.
And Rudy the dog.
That's right.
And then following Rudy will probably be Charlie Brown the dog, who's over there as well.
Yeah.
So, and why does it even matter that we're on video today, Jonathan?
Well, it matters because our attorney said that if we don't start to video these, no.
Our attorneys at Tasty Gents Towers.
At Tasty Gents Towers, yes.
Have asked us, you know, through, yes, to look closer. Anyway.
Because, and this is our announcement.
It's our announcement.
We have a YouTube channel.
We have a YouTube channel.
We do. That's right. Which means it's not just these voices, it's these faces. We're adding faces
and that face
to the voice.
Yes.
And this face.
That's and right. It turns out that picture and maybe the dogs too.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So we are in the manor. What do you call this? The estate?
The estate, yes.
And so we're in Greg's
house. My Palm Springs estate. Yes.
Palm Springs estate. And and so we're gonna see more of this. We're gonna start doing this on a regular basis, then you're gonna be able to see.
It's true.
And so we have a YouTube channel. You can search for Tasty Gents, and we'll also have a link. In this recording,
yes.
So in all the recordings we'll add links.
It's going to be super cool.
Because this is live in front of a studio audience. Exactly. The audience, of course, are the dogs. You're going to hear a lot of squeaking.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, breathing.
Yeah.
And that's just
you wouldn't think breathing. Yeah, exactly. Breathing, scratching.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think breathing would be a thing, but I'm here to tell you, breathing is a thing.
It's quite a bit.
Try
not doing it.
We also we welcome comments on my decor, comments on our fashion choices. If you can be demeaning while you're doing it, it's even better. We learn that way. We learn better.
Yes.
So
yes. We're that old.
We're that old.
Yeah. If you can just bully us a little bit,
exactly.
Threaten put me in a locker
a little bit.
Something.
So. Yeah. Slam. That's never happened to me. Okay.
Yes, we're back.
We're back.
This is Tasty Gents, by the way.
This is Tasty Gents. Hi.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Greg.
And we are the Tasty Gents, and
that's Andrea.
Yeah.
She's the third Tasty Gent.
That's right.
And Rudy,
and he's not part of this. And we get together, we talk about things that we love between Palm Springs and Seattle and all the other cities in between, including, but not exclusive to, food.
Yes, we talk a lot about food.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about food today.
We are.
In fact, what is our food topic for today, Jonathan?
We're going to talk about, we decided to do an episode called Who Did It Best?
Who did it best?
Yeah.
We did.
Usually it's Greg. Just spoiler.
That's not true.
That's not true. Right away.
Well, and actually the point of this episode is to talk about things that both of us, and I'm monkeying around with a microphone right now. I'm not sure where the right spot is.
That's not how you monkey around. This is how you monkey.
Okay. That's why we shouldn't do this in video. Some food products can be made at home and should.
Yes.
We'll talk about those. Some food products can be made at home and maybe it's an experience that you want to have and it's really a lot of fun, but you know, the end product is not really any better. And for me anyway, some food products don't need to be made at home.
Some I have tried to make at home and I just give up.
Right.
I'm going to keep going out for this.
Yes. Yeah. So, let's start with some obvious ones. Baked goods, bread.
Bread. Yes.
Yeah.
You're quite the baker.
I bake a lot. It's true.
Yeah. And so is this something that, do you ever buy bread?
I do. It's pretty rare. So I have a bag of store-bought bread in the fridge right now because I was traveling last week. I was in Florida, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
And I got home and I didn't have enough time to get the starter going and make a loaf and do all that. So I just went to the grocery store and bought a bag of bread. It's very tasty. I'm enjoying it. It's a bit different. But as soon as I'm done with this loaf, I'll be back to my standard homemade sourdough. Yeah, because it's better.
It's better.
Yeah.
I've had it. It's true.
It's good. And I've got kind of a rhythm for it. So I've been making that bread pretty consistently for a couple of years now. So that one works. So bread for me, definitely easy to make by hand.
Yeah.
So
I also make bread not well. So I have a bread maker. I have a machine because I just wasn't doing a very good job of it. And so, and that works. That gets the loaves out. I've noticed, actually, I just had this thing where.
It gets the loaves out.
It gets the loaves out. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. I did attend middle school and it yeah. sticks with me some days. Anyway, you were saying it gets the low sodium.
Yeah. I
lost it completely.
Anyway, but I don't care for it. I will actually continue to make bread because I'm just not great at it. Pasta.
Pasta.
Let's jump to this.
Let's jump to pasta.
I'll make pasta all day long. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it fresh. Mm-hmm. We do buy store-bought pasta.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the shapes. And I don't have
point. Yeah.
I don't have all the accoutrement.
Yep. Nicely done. Jonathan, just let's switch languages in case you were not paying attention. I'll ask him now to switch back to English.
Hey, accoutrement.
Accoutrement.
Yeah. To make all of the pasta shapes, right?
Yeah.
And they're fun.
There are
some pasta shapes that just hold the sauce better.
It's
if you're
true.
Doing things different, like a cheese sauce, or if you're just doing one of my favorite pastas is just oil and a little bit of garlic, or some butter, not butter noodles. That's four, but you get the idea. Like it's,
I don't feel offended by that at all.
Yeah.
I get your point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed with pasta, although I am about 50-50 when I make it myself and when I use Box. Mm. So if I'm making like a baked ziti or something like that, which I really like, same thing, that wants a tubular,
yeah, tubular
dude. Pasta, which is just easier to get a box of penne and it gets mixed in and baked in the oven. So
it's just a spirit job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a brand that you prefer?
I forget. I end up getting Berea more often than not. There was one that on a random tangent. So there was a pasta brand, I don't think it was a Berea, where the CEO a number of years ago, like in a radio interview, said that all gay people should be put on an island or something like that. Yeah. It was
what a fun island.
Not his best, right? Don't you want to vacation at that pasta island?
Wait, he's going to send you pasta to this island that's going to be gay pasta island?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His intent, I think, was a little bit different than that. And so his company spent a lot of money and effort undoing that conversation we're not boycotting them any longer because there was an immediate backlash. But I think that might have been Berea. I forget. Barilla. But so I buy that typically.
Yeah.
And use it or make it myself because it is so very easy to make.
Yeah.
So
and it is easy. And I just made, and we had some pasta in some lasagna.
Yeah.
Sheets.
Yep.
Did you
make the lasagna sheets?
No, because we already had some
sure.
pre-made ones, and we were making a couple of lasagnas. We're still doing mostly vegetarian. We're eating some fish now.
Yep.
But it's mostly vegetarian. But we have all of this meat in our freezer, and I'm
totes.
It just drives me bananas.
Yes.
I have all this freezer. I have very little freezer room, and it's chock full of things we're not going to eat for a very long time.
Yes.
So I pulled a bunch out. We had friends that just came back, and they've been gone for a long time.
Mm.
And so we, a group of us, this is Tim and Kaz, a group of us got together.
Oh,
we
yeah.
just made a whole bunch of pre-made meals because
awesome.
they've got so much other stuff going on. So I made meat lasagna for them, and I made pulled pork. And
right
I made,
on.
We made a bunch of stuff. But then they said, hey, why don't you come over and have lasagna with us? And we're like, oh, I made meat lasagna.
Crap.
So we made another lasagna, and it was all vegetables. But yes, I used pre-made noodles for that.
Yeah.
But I have made just sheets.
Yeah.
And oh, it's so good.
That is on my list. I've never made lasagna with homemade pasta, and I want to very much. So
it'll be
happening.
I don't make how it's kind of crinkly. It's got the waves. I don't know any of that.
You just do flat sheets.
It's just a flat sheet.
Which is how it should be.
It just fits right in there.
Agreed. Okay. All right. So pasta, definitely worth making it, but when there's shapes, tougher to make. Tougher to do. So you buy boxes if it's penne or tubes. Bread sounds like we both prefer homemade, but sometimes for convenience, there's a lot of good bread out there.
I mean, honestly, I know a guy who makes incredible bread, but I rarely get any loaves. So,
sounds very sad.
I'll think about that. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Okay. Cheese. We talked briefly about cheese.
Yeah. Cheese is a funny one.
It is. And I'll tell you, so my experience, I had heard and read somewhere that making ricotta cheese was really easy. And I thought, well, okay, I like things that are easy. And so I did it. I bought the milk and I did the things and I made the ricotta and it all worked exactly like it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked right and it tasted right and everything was fine. And it was not for me and my unrefined palate a single bit better than grocery store ricotta cheese.
Yeah.
So while it was in fact easy, it was not as easy as buying it from the grocery store.
Yeah.
So so ricotta is off the list for me.
We did, we took a class with at our friend Dave's house. Whole bunch, not just Andrew and I, Dave, but like a whole, it was his birthday. It was like 20 people and they brought a person in and she's a cheese master.
Cheese person.
Mistress? Cheese
person. Cheese mistress sounds a little suggestive.
Yeah.
Yes.
The cheese mistress.
Yes, cheese mistress. It's right. No cheese mistress.
No cheese mistress. Yeah. We're gonna get back on.
Welcome to Tasty Gents After Dark.
The cheese mistress.
Anyway, so the cheese mistress came over and you made cheese.
I made cheese and she made two kinds. She was very attractive. So now all these things went wrong for me. She made a mozzarella. We made a mozzarella and we made a burrata. Thank you.
Burrata is goat.
It was not good.
It was not good.
It was basically mozzarella, but as a creamy center.
Burrata. Yeah.
Yeah.
Burrata. Oh, lovely.
It was so good. But there's a lot that goes on to make cheese because you have to get the right kind of milk. And none of us, it turns out, have a cow. So
no cows.
Not one. Mm. 20 people. Who doesn't have a cow?
What?
In Washington?
In Washington.
Anyway, we didn't have a cow, but there's places that do, and they make milk, and then they sell it to us. But most milk, we learned, is boiled for, there's three different temperatures that they use, and two of them make the milk unusable for cheese production. Oh. And you have to get one that is boiled at the lowest temperature, but still considered pasteurized.
Okay.
And that was this one brand. And so we bought it and it was whole milk. And my gosh, when I said whole milk, it was thick.
It was delicious
and creamy. Mm. And the thing about that I think I'm going to go off on a thing here.
Do it.
Is that I learned when I was young, and I don't drink milk anymore because I have lactose problems and I already spend enough time in the bathroom. So is that if I drink whole milk,
yes,
I can drink a cup of it,
okay,
and be totally satiated.
Interesting.
If I drink 2%, I'll drink three glasses.
Oh,
right, because you're like it's just watery milk. It's right. I know, it's whole milk, so it's got all the fats and all the stuff.
Yeah,
but also that's what your body is
filling
anyway.
Right. That's
it's
what you want. Yeah,
and you're done with it, and you get the complete protein out of the whole milk. That I'm not sure if you get it in the 2%, but I also don't know.
I don't know. So, I don't either.
Maybe.
Thoughts about buttermilk?
Delicious.
Love it. Did you grow up drinking buttermilk?
No. I tried. My mother would get very angry. So, because she used it for biscuits.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
She would make buttermilk and sourdough pancakes and with all sorts of berries that we, of course, wash.
Wow.
Pull all the berries and, you know, you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't
pick a stick.
You can't escape them.
I was going to say, yes, literally. Yeah. I've watched them take people down and devour them. Yes, exactly.
So, we had buttermilk in the house almost always.
Interesting.
But
we did too, but my mom drank it. So a cup of buttermilk with some salt in it. Not like a full, the size cup you would have you know, something else, but you know, 4 to 6 ounces of buttermilk, salted. Oh, I think Andrea has something to share with us. Andrea is our research team.
Milk fats.
Protein is about the same between whole milk and 2%.
Andrea Eddington, ladies and gentlemen.
She has looked on the Google.
Yes, on the Goog.
On the Goog.
She checked the Goog.
Sort of closer to Greg now. Okay, fine.
Well, it's a goal for all of us.
Really?
Or I should say Jonathan.
You just went right for the balding. Is that what happened?
What, my solar panel?
Andrea just called me bald. That's what happened.
She's been calling me bald for years.
I would like to launch a formal complaint at Tasty Gents Towers.
Yeah,
with the HR team. Yes.
Yeah. A bit of a name calling going on.
Exactly. Corporate things are getting sassy here.
I know.
Anyway, we drank.
Mistress.
So, yes, the milk mistress.
Cheese mistress.
Did she have the cheese mistress? Did she have an outfit? No, I don't want to know if she had an outfit. Buttermilk.
Buttermilk.
So, yes, we would just put salt in the buttermilk. Now, that said, my mom salt on everything. So, and some of you may have gotten to listen to the Mamasode that we did with my mom from last week. I was down in Florida, so we got to do an episode with her, which is great. But everything gets salted. Everything always, all the time gets salted.
Wait,
including buttermilk.
Even the canned salmon?
Even the canned salmon, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, buttermilk. And my understanding, this has been on my list of things, like maybe someday, is that buttermilk is the leftover. When you get whole milk and you churn it to make butter, you churn. There's a point at which all the milk fats come together into a wad. It's a technical term, wad. And that's butter.
Yeah.
And then you pull that out and you do what you do with butter.
Yeah.
What's left over is buttermilk.
Oh, so there's just some.
Yeah. So it's liquid. Milk that has more fat in it, more other stuff in it than,
Okay.
See?
Yeah. Also very filling.
Also very filling. Yes, exactly. A little salt. So
you ever make a cheese sauce with it? You ever?
I've never made cheese sauce with buttermilk. Have you?
No, I just thought about it. Like, it already has.
I've baked with it a good bit.
Have you?
Do you know the buttermilk cheat?
No, there's a cheat.
If you're going to bake and you don't have any buttermilk, but you have a recipe that calls for it.
Okay.
About what?
Is that ghee?
Ghee. Andrea's contribution is that ghee is the answer. She's wrong. She might be right, but that's not what I was going to say. It's vinegar.
Vinegar?
Half a tablespoon of vinegar in a cup of milk. I could be off on that amount, but yeah. It doesn't obviously create fat. Vinegar creates fat. But from a tanginess perspective, from a taste
that
perspective, it is almost indecipherable, at least for me.
Yeah.
So the other day I made, what did I make with buttermilk? Scones, probably. Yeah. I make those all the damn time. And I didn't have buttermilk. So just a little bit of vinegar, white vinegar. Don't use apple cider.
No.
It's bad. All right.
And don't use it on when I poach eggs. We didn't have any white distilled, and I used a little apple cider. It did fine for binding the whites in the boiling water, but then your eggs are orangey, weird colored. Mm.
Nobody wants that.
No.
All right. So we talked then also briefly back to who did it better.
Who did it better?
Who did it better? I currently have in my refrigerator a little bit left of a batch of homemade blue cheese salad dressing, which is remarkably easy to make.
Yeah.
And when I learned how easy it was to make ranch dressing, I have to choose to not buy the chives and the parsley and the ingredients for ranch dressing because it's just that good. I have to step the hell back from it.
Do you use it as a dip and also as a salad dressing?
Yes, and also with a spoon. Just with like
just with a spoon.
Yeah, just yeah. Going, you know, or like
that's it.
Yeah, sorry.
You just put it up by bed.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. Cool. It's quite good. Yeah. But I find that I eat more salads when I have good dressing.
Yeah.
Tonight I will make a chopped salad because I'm currently obsessed with chopped salads.
Put in your chopped salad.
Today will be some Napa cabbage, some iceberg lettuce, cherry tomatoes, red bell pepper, cucumber, red onion, almonds, cheese. Like little cubes of cheese and carrots.
Yeah.
And so like chop all that up into small bits and then mix it up and then dress it. And I am a fan of salad that you can eat with a spoon.
Just big.
It's the best.
Chunky, yeah.
Delicious. Yeah. Well, it's also like the pieces are small and they're just, you know, it's there to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chop salad. That's my thing. So that'll happen today.
You heard it here.
But salad dressing, you heard it here first. That's one of the things that I believe are so easy to make at home. And so significantly better.
Yeah.
That I prefer to make them when I can.
I like we do a little bit of that. I'll make some honey mustard sometimes, you know, things like that. If we just wanted something special. Andrea has a wonderful my favorite cabbage salad that she does, and it's got a ginger, garlicky.
Had this salad, yes.
Yeah, and so it's got nuts in it and peanuts and everything else. It's got cool stuff, red onion. So that's one of my favorites. I mean, she makes that at home.
Nice, right on.
Andrew squeaking that thing. Yeah. So
Andrew's got one of the toys again. Always with the squeaky toys.
He gets so bored.
it's not us.
Something that I prefer to do at home. I haven't done it in a very long time though, and I grew up with it. Our homemade jams.
Oh jams,
and you know, and growing up with this, I was shocked to learn how much sugar goes into these things. It is
pretty shocking.
A significant
amount
of sugar, and it's so worth it.
It is so worth it. And it's funny, we talked about overwhelming blackberry bushes a minute ago.
Yeah.
And so in the pandemic, one of the first things, so remember early days of the pandemic?
Aww.
Oh, no. When we were all like, we're going to be like pioneers. It's going to be great. I'm going to make things. I'm going to be better as a person. I'm not better as a person.
Yeah.
But in that first few weeks,
yeah,
I took my bicycle down to a spot in Ballard where I knew there was a lot of blackberry bushes tilting over the Burkillman Trail. And so, and it was that time of year. And so I harvested 3 pounds of blackberries and then went home and made jam. And it was epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
With the jam.
It was my jam.
Yeah.
For like... exactly. That's right.
This is what we do off camera.
All the time. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to adjust that a little bit. Okay. So I would agree with you on jams. And in fact, I've got some lime marmalade right now because somebody gave me a bunch of limes recently.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm I'm trying to lobby. It's so good. That's right. I'm trying to lobby a friend of mine to get some grapefruits. Chad, if you watch this or listen to this, give me the grapefruits. Yeah, because grapefruit marmalade is also really good.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's
okay.
Really good.
Jams and marmalades. What else?
One thing I love to make, and I always prefer, but I don't always buy it, are my own pickles. So I like to pickle all my own stuff. And then, absolutely. Love to pickle. We, all sorts of things, radishes and obviously cucumbers and other things that we can get our hands on. I've never done a non-vegetable. I've never pickled herring before.
Oh, interesting. Thought,
like, it would be really kind of fun thing to do. And, you know, if you have pickles at home, you've gone out to the store and you bought the jar and it has the thing, whatever, and you finished all those pickles, don't pour that out. Buy a cucumber, pop it in there.
True.
24 hours later, you've got more pickles.
For a quick pickle. Yep. That is absolutely a thing to do, is to refill those pickle jars.
Yeah.
I do make pickles. Almost every year, although I had a lot left from 2 years ago, so I didn't make them last year. But this year, I'm going to be making pickles. I only make one kind so far. But I like the idea of pickled radishes. That sounds really good.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, I was actually earlier having a little snack. My neighbors across the street, they're right over there, made pickled green beans, pickled dill pickled green beans, and gave me some. And they're quite good.
This is what you just had?
They're right behind us. Yes, you just had one. We're going to show them to you. See, this is...
They're really good.
Butch and Kurt's. I think it even says, does it say Butch and Kurt on there?
Dilled Cocktail Green Beans, March 2023. No.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a name.
I will.
But it should.
Butch made them. So.
Thanks, Butch.
Thanks, Butch. Yeah. Okay. What else is who made it best? Do you like to make stuff you like to make at home?
A lot of the stuff that I make myself, like my own pasta sauces.
Sure.
All those things. I mean, and it just goes on and on. But some things that I will continue to go to the store for, if not because it's better, but because of the convenience.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some things. I can make my own salsas, and I like to.
Yes.
But there's just a lot that goes into it. And true. So there are some really great pico de gallos or store.
There are some. Yeah.
I like it. Hot sauce. I love hot sauce, and I'll make my own. So
totally agree. Yeah.
There's so many incredible hot sauces out there, and why eat a lot of hot sauce? So we put in just about everything. So yeah, like those are some things I want. But you actually make your own chili powder?
I do.
Chili powder? Not chili.
Chili powder. Yeah, chili powder. Chili power. Yeah.
Chili man.
I do. There is a recipe. So one of my first favorite cookbooks, I still have it, is called The Cook's Bible. Mm. And it's by Christopher Kimball. And he is the guy that started the magazine Cooks Illustrated and the TV show America's Test Kitchen.
Yes.
So he's now doing his own thing. Although those things are still around. But in The Cook's Bible, there's a chili recipe that is still the one I use when I make meat chili. And that recipe calls for getting like three dried ancho chilies and three dried New Mexico red chilies. And those are easy to find in the grocery store. Toast them in the oven or in a skillet till they're a little bit toasty, and then process them in a food processor or a spice grinder. And it's a little bit more effort. It's not that much more effort. And it is so much better.
Do you make like a large batch, so you just have a big?
Usually I'll make, usually if the recipe calls for like three of each pepper, I'll get six or nine of each pepper and make like two or three times. And then vacuum seal it and freeze it.
Yeah.
And use it again next time. But it's so much more deeply flavorful than jarred chili powder, especially since at any given moment, like now, I have chili powder, I'm sure, in the cupboard, and I'm sure it's 2 years old.
Right.
So I've store bought, I'm sure that I bought for some, I needed a quarter of a teaspoon for some recipe and
make it.
But yeah, I'm a fan of chili powder.
I like the idea that you're making your own spices. I've never done that. Right. I have ground pepper. So
come on, stop it. I bet you have a device dedicated to grinding your own pepper. You grind your own pepper.
I do.
Jonathan Addington, ladies and gentlemen. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah, sometimes we'll just do it right over the food. I don't even measure.
What?
I don't even measure.
Who did it better? Jonathan's pepper grinder.
This guy. Other things that I will continue to go to the store for, and while the cheese was delicious and I liked it, I will just buy cheese at the store. It just makes more sense. And I mean, my favorite brand is Tillamook.
Ooh, me too.
And I kind of like, you see that farm cut. It's like longer, thicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Farm shredded.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's different. I don't know if farmers like different.
Good point. Yeah. Why is it different? I don't know.
Have the patience for a thinner slice.
Good point. Yeah. They don't have the time for that. Anyway, they're out doing crops and things.
Yeah. Let's just farm slice it.
Right.
Anyway, I like those as well because nachos. And nachos. I like to go out for nachos, and I have yet to go to Black Book, which apparently has the best nachos.
Best nachos ever.
They have an award-winning restaurant in that place.
Do they?
Did you know that? Because I was looking online. I couldn't remember if it was which restaurant you had said or which bar you said that had the nachos. And stuff. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I went through and I looked at a couple of them. And it's on their they won awards.
For their That's awesome. It's a fun bar. And they have great nachos.
Great nachos.
I go there a lot.
Yeah. But I'll just make my own mostly because when I want them like, I'm just going to have this right now.
Agreed.
And so it's,
And we did talk about sad nachos last week because sometimes you want nachos and it doesn't work out like you wanted it to. But making them yourself is a great way to make sure that that doesn't happen because we did not make the nachos ourselves and we had sad nachos. I tend to not buy pre-shredded cheese, but for nachos, it's awesome. Yeah. Because most of the time I'm using it for pizza. They treat pre-shredded cheese with a little bit of cellulose, which is not bad, but it keeps it from sticking, but it makes it not melt quite as well as cheese that you grate yourself. So
and we used to just get the block of Tillamook cheddar, whatever it is, and just grate it ourselves and do the,
that's right.
That's some good stuff. I didn't realize that other cheeses
was even an option. I know, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we've covered cheese.
Is there anything that you wish you could make and do it better that it was, but you still go for the convenience?
The thing that's in my mind right now, I'm just going to say it out loud to clear it from my mind, is Pop-Tarts. And the only reason I'm clearing it from my mind is that I don't buy Pop-Tarts.
Sure.
But sometimes I really want a Pop-Tart. And hand pies, I mean, there's a whole...
A hand pie.
Yeah. So... There's these cultural things that persist from culture to culture. So empanadas are a hand pie, right? So Pop-Tart is just a hand pie.
Yeah.
It's a commercially made, fruit and all that. Yeah. It's hand pie. And so as hand pies go, I love Pop-Tarts right out of the package, not even in the toaster, just cold.
Oh, you eat raw.
I do. I like my Pop-Tarts raw.
Yeah.
Like they were meant to be.
That's right. Like God intended.
But I don't really eat Pop-Tarts or that much, so making them homemade is not a thing. I would say pie crust is a thing that I probably, if I'm making a quiche or something like that, or something where the crust is not going to be the most critical thing, store-bought pie crust does just fine.
Yeah.
So
things I will always put sausages if I ever get back to eating sausages. Yeah. What was the other thing I was just thinking? What was I just thinking?
You were thinking of sausages.
It was sausages. Yeah, I already said that. But there was something else anyway. It didn't come to me. Nope.
Almost there. Gone again.
So close.
Brains.
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Ooh.
I have ice cream and I've made it with friends. And they have the little machine and the thing that goes around. And you eat it. You're like, what?
Right.
It's so good. Yeah. Just like fresh strawberries. You dump them in. You chop them up. Yeah. Blueberries. Whatever it is you're making. And you're like, they could use some honey. Put a little honey.
Right.
Mix it in. Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. Not going to do it.
Yeah,
this is too much.
Oh, too much.
Because Ben and Jerry's exists.
It's true, as does Haagen-Dazs. Yeah,
and Umpqua.
Umpqua. Yeah,
yeah.
That's an Oregon brand, I think.
Yes, and they do a wild berry.
Ooh. Ugh. So I was making my own ice cream for a while. I got a KitchenAid stand mixer attachment that is an ice cream bowl that you put in the freezer. And when Ben & Jerry's first came out with the flavor many, many years ago, coffee Heath Bar Crunch, that was my favorite kind. And I went through a period of having, not dealing well with caffeine. So I cut all caffeine out, including coffee Heath Bar Crunch. And it was a sad, sad day in my life. And then I discovered when I was making my own ice cream, two very interesting things. One, they sell Heath Bar chunks in bags in the grocery store. You can just buy them like a criminal.
What a world we live in.
What a world we live in. And you can make coffee ice cream with decaf.
Yes.
So
I was going to say.
Then none of my clothes fit. So I gave away the ice cream maker because it made my clothes shrink.
I thought it was because you needed the caffeine to make your body vibrate
that was it,
on another level.
So all of the dogs are being, yes, they're being needy upset right now. Yes.
Yeah. It's, well, there's a storm brewing.
There's a storm. Storms are brewing. That should be a song. I think it is.
Make some coffee. That's a brewing.
We are at about 25 minutes.
Of what?
Of rambling on about.
It surprises me every time.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to stop.
Okay.
It means that we are approaching the time we would stop. Yeah. Normally, viewer, see, we normally say listener, but this time I was going to say, I'm going to say viewer. Yeah. Normally, viewer or listener, if you're listening to this podcast, I would subtly display a 5-minute or 10-minute warning to Jonathan. Yeah. I told him where we were.
Do this for five.
Yes, but now we can't do it.
He'll say two. He'll say 1 minute.
With this, if I think he's killing me and I wish he would stop. Anyway,
That's what that means.
Oh, just all this time.
So cool. Like, I thought just some kind of like Florida gang sign.
We've talked about pizza. We know that making pizza at home is better than any kind of store bought,
especially with your oven. Yeah. It's, and with your
pizza oven.
Your dough.
I made pizza at my brother's house in Florida and it was less successful.
Well, you were in a
kitchen oven. I was in a kitchen oven and it was a confusing kitchen oven. I don't want to malign my brother's oven.
No, not at all.
Except it. Anyway, so pizza, we know. Yeah. And I would say, and this is a hill I'm prepared to die on. Jarred pasta sauce.
Oh.
It's so easy to make fresh tomato sauce. And by fresh, I mean like canned tomatoes.
Yeah.
But fresh tomato sauce with canned tomatoes is so, so easy that there's no room for jarred sauce in my world, including jarred pizza sauce. So I make my own pizza sauce.
All your own pizza sauce.
Just as easy. Yep.
That's fantastic. I love that.
What is happening with dogs right now? They're Charlie Brown, crazy. Maybe not be under the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
The library.
Come here.
So we're right by the window.
Out of control. Yes, exactly. We have dog chaos going on right now.
Let him by.
Okay, good. All right.
Speaking of the bullies, we brought one.
Yes.
And his name is Rudy.
Rudy the Bully.
Rudy the Bully.
Yeah. And Charlie Brown is distressed. And so.
Oh, he's sitting right next to Andrea.
Joining Andrea for that. So anything else come to mind when we think about who made it best? Things that you like to make at home? We talk about hummus.
Yeah,
we like to make other hummus. Sauces like that.
Yeah. There's types of hummuses that we like.
There's some great store-bought.
Yeah, there's some great store-bought. But we'll make some odd flavors. Like, I don't know if we've brought this over, but we'll make a dill pickle hummus.
Ooh,
that just has a tang and a bunch of stuff.
This is us waving at the neighbors.
Yeah, there's neighbors.
Yeah.
So hummus is good. But that's, I mean, basically, I would like to, even if I don't... You know, I'm not going to make it often at home. I like to try stuff. Like I've never made something. I want to try that. And so I do. And I'm like, wow, that was delicious. But wow, that was a lot of effort.
So that's a great point. And that was maybe where this started. I started thinking about this as well, as I talked about butter being something it'd be fun to make. I think it would be fun to make butter.
Yeah.
And someday I hope to actually do it. I don't think I'll replace store-bought butter with that. I've made, what else did I make? I made bacon once. Bought a pork belly and smoked it and cured it and sliced it. And it was a friend of mine and I in Seattle. And so it took, a long time to do all the steps. It was really fun. And it made the most amazing BLTs that we could have imagined, but we didn't keep making bacon. But it was fun. It was a fun experience. And there's a lot of things like that are just fun to do.
And I like the idea of trying those things. And I think also you get into phases of things, right? I have friends who they would brew beer for years and years.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I did that one. It's just, I did beer.
Yeah. I did beer for a while.
Yep.
Yeah. But you want to try stuff. You want to learn.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you sort of learn how ingredients work together. You start, I think it's a way that people who enjoy their time in the kitchen kind of learn and build their skill. Cause you start to learn about ingredients. You start to learn about timing, about mixing, about all sort of all those skills kind of add up. So did your beer have a name?
Yes. It's been a while. So I mean, we made like a pale ale. We made a pale stout.
Nice.
Yeah. But then we made one beer and it was god awful. It was so bad. and it was in the first iteration of this, and Andrea for my birthday got me a Mr. Beer.
Oh, it was
like
nice.
A big plastic
thing.
Clean it out and stuff. And Bjorn was like 7 years old. And so we bought the bottles and made little labels and he drew. And it was just this awful beer. So we called it Frankenstein beer. And he drew the labels and they were little beer. It's supposed to be a wheat beer, and it was just a
tapped after Francis Connor.
Nothing like it.
Nothing like that.
No. Horrible. Yeah.
I made a pale ale for a few years in a row with a friend. We had batches. At the time, I was writing a relationship advice column online called The Bitter Single Guy's Relationship Advice.
Look it up.
Thing that happened. Don't look it up. It's not there anymore.
It's huge.
So we made Bitter Single Bitter for a little while. And then we made a different IPA that we called Salted Slug. So Salted Slug and Bitter Single Bitter. And I have to give my friend Garth props to coming up with both of the names, especially Salted Slug, because that was his contribution.
That was it.
Cool. And we're going to leave you with those images of beer and salted slugs, because it's creepy. Jonathan, this was really fun.
Hey, we are doing like a real full-time video thing.
It's kind of a thing. This is our first one where we kind of knew this was going to be filmed too. So we're interested in your opinions as always.
That's right. Yeah. So, and if you would like also to send a video or a comment or something. We are on Facebook. Check us out on YouTube, which is where, well, you're on it.
You're here now. Yes.
Yeah. Leave a comment, subscribe.
Come on.
Leave a credit card number.
Right.
And your maiden name.
Send us gifts. Yeah. Yeah.
All of those things.
Name of the first car you ever drove. Yeah. All that. We're all done. Jonathan, always a pleasure.
Wonderful. Okay.
You too. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Tasty Gents, a geeky Palm Springs to Seattle podcast.
Okay, cue jingle.
Cue jingle. There it is.